Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Paul has been dealing with the problem of divisions in the Corinthian church since the beginning of this epistle in chapter 1, and he's still dealing with that problem as we are getting to the end of chapter 4. Four whole chapters devoted to the problem of divisions in the church. And as we view the divisions as they are described for us here, they don't sound really major to our way of thinking, I don't believe. Paul describes it as some saying, I'm of Paul, and others, I'm of Apollos, and others, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Jesus, and others, I'm of Jesus Christ. And so obviously there were cliques that were forming around these preachers, these spiritual leaders, and their personalities and style. But we don't hear about anybody coming to blows. I mean, we really don't know what's going on here. But it sounds immature. It sounds carnal. It sounds like it could be problematic, but for goodness sakes, most churches in our day have more serious problems of division than that. Just people coalescing around favorite preachers. And sometimes in our day, that does happen, particularly in preachers who are media figures. I don't want to really name any, but I like this preacher out on the West Coast. I really follow him. And, well, I like this one in Florida. I really follow him. And, well, I like this one up in the Midwest. I like to follow him. And that can become very divisive, particularly when these men don't all cross their T's and dot their I's exactly alike. And so, assuming that they're all faithful preachers of the gospel, nevertheless, some of them are going to have different views on eschatology and other things. And so when people start coalescing around them in this way, it can very much cause divisions in the church, and you have to be careful. I can remember years ago, we had a lady in our church who's since moved to another city, but she made it real clear that her real spiritual leader was not anybody in our church. It was a particular well-known figure in another state, one that I like, one that I listen to, one that whose books I read, one that I admire very much, though he's now with the Lord. But there are things he teaches that I don't believe are exactly correct. Well, she made it clear that if he taught it, she believed it. And that's the way it was. And she could have made problems. She didn't. The Lord was gracious, and that didn't cause any problems, but it could have, particularly if you get a whole group of people like that, and you've got this group that are contending for this person's interpretation, and this group contending for that person's interpretation, and they're not listening to and following the leadership of the pastors that God has given them in their local church, that could create real problems. So, yes, you can see how this could develop into serious problems. And so Paul is dealing with it. He's still at it, four chapters later, and we'll have to continue studying how he deals with it. As I welcome you to this Monday, July 19 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for your consideration of our financial needs. Well, as we saw on the broadcast Friday, Paul begins in verse 14. We're in chapter 4, verse 14, with a clarification in verses 14 and 15, when basically he says, I didn't write the things I wrote in order to shame you. And he had written some pretty strong things about their pride and about their unwillingness to suffer for Christ's sake, their concepts that they were wise and high and mighty, and they didn't understand how much that was not so. But he says, I'm not doing this in order to shame you, though it probably will do that, but I'm doing it to try to help you. I have a love for you. I view you as my children. And then he goes on to verse 15 to talk about his relationship to them. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, we talked about that Friday. That's a bit of an exaggeration. Even if you had as many as 10,000 instructors in Christ, which of course you don't, but let's suppose you have 2 or 3 dozen. Some who are resident in the church, pastors, teachers in the church, and others who come through from time to time, like Paul and Apollos and Cephas, and who minister in the church helpfully, and you receive spiritual benefit from all of these people. But though you might have many, many instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers in Christ. Instructors, yes. Fathers, no. Because, he goes on to say, in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. I am your father. And not in the sense that they had all come to faith in Christ through Paul. That's not the way he's using the word begotten here, that I have begotten you through the gospel. That's what it sounds like to us. But when you get it all in context, it becomes clear what he's talking about is, in the design and enabling of God, I gave birth to this church. I'm the church planter. I'm the father of this church. Notice how he puts this in chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. There he's making it clear that they had many fathers in the sense of being born again, right? Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers, plural, through whom you believed, different ones of you believed through the ministry of different ones, as the Lord gave to each one. Every one of you have somebody that God used to bring you to Christ. But then verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now he's talking about the church. I planted the church. Apollos came and added to that. He watered what I had planted, and God blessed his ministry, and other people were saved, and the church grew and was strengthened. But Apollos didn't plant. I planted. He watered. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Again, this idea that Paul was the church planter. Paul was the one who laid the foundation of the church. Others build on it. He planted the field to begin with. There was no crop. There were no gospel seeds in this part of the world. And Paul came to Corinth and he preached the gospel. He planted the seed and it began to grow. It was sprouting and it was bearing fruit. But Paul was not a pastor. He didn't stay there permanently. He moved on to ministry in other places. He was an apostle. He was a missionary. He was an evangelist. And he went from place to place, planting churches all over the Roman Empire. And so he moved on. But others came through. In addition to the elders, the pastors who were resident in the church, there were other gifted men who came through and contributed. And so Apollos did that, and Peter did that, but though they did that, they were only watering the field that I planted, or they were only adding to the building of which I laid the foundation, And that's what he's talking about in verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, it's important for them to understand this relationship. They need to give special attention to the words of Paul. They should pay attention to any faithful minister of God's word, but they must pay special attention to Paul because by the design of God, God sent him there to plant the church. God made him the father of that church. And just like each one of us have one father. Now, we may, through the process of different things that happen, we may end up with a stepfather and so forth, but we have one father. And if everything goes well and the father lives and the marriage stays together and the father not only brought us into this world, of course, with the partnership of our mother, but raises us, teaches us, becomes a real father to us. Nevertheless, the day will come when he will die and will no longer have a father, and there will never be another one. You can't replace a father. You have one father. You have other people that help you, that contribute to your life, that teach you, that guide you, that mentor you, that help you in many ways, but you'll only ever have one father, just like you'll only ever have one mother. And so that's what Paul is saying here. Though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, verse 16, I urge you, imitate me. And that's his goal, is to get them to follow him, that is to imitate him, Paul, as a way to better follow Christ. Be you followers of me, he says in chapter 11, verse 1, as I am of Christ. And what does he mean? Imitate what? Imitate his doctrine, what he teaches you. You need to recognize that's sound doctrine. Hold on to that. If someone else teaches you something different, then you reject that because the one that God sent there to establish the church, the father of this church, taught you differently. You pay attention to him and also follow his life, his godliness, especially his unity in the gospel with other gospel preachers. He's not divided about them. His humility, as he's willing to suffer for Christ's sake and to sacrifice for Christ. Follow that. That's your pattern. That's the way you're supposed to be a follower of Christ. And Paul is saying, in effect, fathers have position. They ought to be imitated. And we do that. Every one of us learn how to be, in my case, how to be a man by, to some degree, to some extent, imitating my father. He showed me how to be a man, how to be a good man. He was a Christian. Fathers have position, fathers have authority. They should be followed and imitated, and they should be obeyed. And that's just the way it is. It's that way in families, and it's that way in churches. And Paul is the one father. Many teachers, one father. So above all others, follow him. Above all others, listen to him. Above all others, obey him. Because that's the way God put this relationship together. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.